I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are representatives of the Wilmington Drama League, their board president, Eric Molino, and their production manager, Kathy Buderball. Welcome, Kathy. I did get that right, didn't I?
Nobody ever does. It's fine.
Like, I haven't said that name before. I've had you both on the air before. It's great to have you both back.
It's great to be here.
Now, thanks for having us.
The Wilmington Drama League has a tremendous history here in the Wilmington, Northern Delaware community, going all the way back to the late 1920s. Let's take a few minutes just to talk about the origins of the Wilmington Drama League and how it's evolved over time, and then get to what's happening today, because you have a really active and vibrant schedule, I know.
We do.
It's interesting you should mention the kind of the history, because we just finished publishing a self-published History of the Drama League, a pictorial history, which, shameless plug is available for purchase if folks want to. And so it occasioned us to really dig deep into the archives and find out some interesting things, such as there was a community theater movement back in the teens that a movement throughout the country for cities to develop their own community theaters. And Wilmington was one of those cities. And out of that grew some folks that were basically reading plays in each other's living rooms. And then they moved from there to renting an old mill building down
I just wanted to interject, because I had always wondered too. And honestly, I think I just found out because of the delving done by Mr. Merlino to write this book. But
you can call me Eric.
I know.
Usually call me
okay.
Eric.
Okay, good. We'll call you Eric. But there was a national organization called the American Drama League.
League, yes,
right.
Exactly.
The American Drama League, because people wonder, why is it the Drama League? It makes it sound like a club. We're not a club.
Right.
Anyway, so we were the Wilmington branch of that. So it was the Wilmington Drama League. Go
now,
ahead.
Did that evolve into the American Association of Community Theaters, or is that... Totally
not directly, no. I can't speak to that. But
what you're saying is this really started as which was not uncommon in the early 20th century, sort of a parlor activity.
Exactly.
It absolutely is. And it was to encourage the reading of fine plays.
Interesting.
Quote.
Yes, quote.
And then how did it move on from there?
Well.
Go ahead.
They decided they'd like to actually start performing these for a larger audience. So they rented this old, leaky, drafty mill building and began to put on shows.
It's down
there.
It was down in the mill buildings that is on Market at, I think,
Superfine Lane.
Oh, Superfine Lane.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right on the Brandywine there.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's quite a few interesting stories about
there were no heat, so people kept their coats on, and it was very shaky because there was a railroad track near it.
Sure.
And
there was a train close enough that...
let me preface it by saying there was a fire escape that, those pressurized fire escapes, when you step on them, they come down and then they release and they go back up.
Sure.
Well, people used to go out for air, for a cigarette, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now Eric's going to tell you.
And so on one occasion, it didn't release back up, and it stuck out enough such that the train came along and took it along with it.
To Baltimore.
How about that?
And so then the people that were, part of the Drama League decided, we probably should have an actual building. Because they built the sets on the second floor, and the theater was on the third floor, so they had to carry everything up the fire escape. Living in the city, I've had that experience.
And we complain about our set construction difficulties.
So then they decided, and all of this, and amazing, there was a lot of people from the DuPonts, from, a lot of prominent citizens.
Chick Laird
was involved.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so they used their own money to rent that building. Mm-hmm. And then they decided, we need a real building. Passed the hat in the middle of the Depression.
Put out a bond issue.
Yeah. Bond issue.
Amongst their subscribers. Mm-hmm. And
where we are at between 39th and 40th on Market, the building was built and the land was purchased I think the total was $64,000.
That sounds about right.
Right.
Wow.
So.
And so they owned the building outright, which was a real, it has been, and it was and has and continues to be a real benefit to, you know, to the Drama League to, you know, not have that, you know, have additional expenses because of that and to have an asset, you know, that helps keep it going.
And wasn't there, I believe there was a goal they wanted to reach in subscribers. It's so interesting in today's society. We tend to not want to commit to like an entire series of plays or anything. Mm-hmm. And so they had lots of subscribers. I believe
hundreds.
Well, thousands. I thought that when they got to their thousandth, that's when they were going to build the building. But I don't have it in front of me. But something like that. It was
interesting.
Thousands. And it was amazing that people just went to every play.
And now your current facility seats how many?
265.
And let's talk a little bit about the growth of the programming, because I know, I believe in the lobby down the side hallway there, you have a listing of the history of shows through the years.
That's right.
It's still there.
We continue to.
I mean, it's fascinating to go back in history and see what shows were produced in what years.
It is just heartwarming to watch people come back to that. We just had a funeral service for someone who had the body wasn't there, but anyway, we had a service for someone that worked there, and people come back and they are still able to go, oh, this is where I started and I did
I
this
was in
show.
This show and yeah, really fascinating.
You can do it too. But yeah, the building is very much very close to the original. We were featured actually in a national architectural magazine, Architectural Digest,
in 39 or 40 when it was built.
Yeah, 1940, and they show pictures of the innovative theater built in Little Wilmington. You know, so we keep that on record. But now, a lot of it is original.
Was Drama League's building built with fly space for the stage?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Very nice fly space.
So that's a rare commodity in theaters an important one.
And we just recently, in the last few years, replaced probably what were the original flies with all brand new safe stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And due to the generous grant of the DDUA.
Well, nice plug.
Let's talk about some of the programming and some of the people that have gone through the Drama League. Because I know you have Broadway, you know, people who have ended up on Broadway who have come back, actually.
Well, we have been very, very grateful for the young people that have come, and not so young people that have come through.
Thank you.
And and then made it big, so to speak, and come back. I guess two of the most famous are Aubrey Plaza and Johnny Gallagher, and or John Gallagher Jr. now, and he is a Tony winner, and she is everywhere, and they still, you know, check in every once in a while. John Gallagher Jr.'s first Best Actor Award was from a show at the Drama League, Frankenstein, and he played the 12-year-old boy, and Ray Harrington, I don't know, you know him, he played the monster, and Ray tells it that he knew Johnny was going to be like a great actor, because when he said, okay, so now I'm going to like pick you up by your neck, okay, and he showed him a safe way to do it,
right,
but like slammed him against the wall at one point, and the audience was just aghast. And he said that he just went with it, that he just wanted to do it. And then we used to have what's called Spotlight Awards. We had a Best Actor and a Best Actress, and, you know,
for a season's length.
Right, for a season's length.
Right.
And his sister tells the story, Johnny's sister, that he was up against Seth Kirshner, who is also, you know, very big in like commercials and movies
was in 30
and stuff.
Rock on occasion, I think.
Yes, he was.
Right.
And Tina Fey's show. Yeah.
And then Keith Powell, who, what's his name on 30 Rock? Twofer. He was very, very active at the Drama League. Mm-hmm. But Johnny and Seth were up for the Best Young Actor Award. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Johnny and his sister were with their parents on vacation. and he wanted to be back for the award ceremony. Mm-hmm. So they sent his sister, who was older, and he back to in time to be at the ceremony, which he won the Best Actor award. So.
And another Drama League graduate is currently in King Kong.
Yeah, Rory Donovan. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was in Finding Neverland and toured with Shrek and Young Frankenstein, I believe. Right. Yes.
Yeah. And to highlight how they do continue to give back, Rory and his mother recently, about maybe 2 years ago, we do a youth one act festival in the summer, and they came back to be adjudicators for the festival. Mm-hmm. And as have, go ahead.
I haven't asked yet, but we might have a surprise one for this one as well. But it's a project I can't talk about yet. But anyway, we also had a homecoming a year and a half ago, where Carly Shiraki, who's on public television with children's programming and won a daytime Emmy, at least one, and Rory and, oh my gosh, and Johnny and Aubrey and just a whole bunch of the alumni
came back.
In fact, Keith Powell used to write plays for this festival we're talking about as a 17-year-old. And I say, don't ever make me mad or I'll bring him out.
Well, what we're talking about is community theater not only being an opportunity to present theater in the now, but also to be a training ground for theater in the future. And I want to pursue that after I remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are representing the Wilmington Drama League, Eric Molino, the board president, and Kathy Buderbaugh, the production manager. Now, Wilmington Drama League not only presents a rich and extensive series each year, but also has a number of training programs and opportunities for youth and actually the general community to learn theater. And I know being on your website talked about this really being a volunteer operation. And there's so many different ways to get involved in the Wilmington Drama League, not just on stage, but in building sets and in ushering and you know, front of house, back of house activities. Let's talk about that a little bit, about getting engaged in the Wilmington Drama League as not only a performing, but also as a learning experience.
We have a lot of people who think, well, first of all, they think that it's not a volunteer, you know, that you have to be hired or something, which, and that's a compliment. And I agree that we try to put on professional level shows, but they can at any point contact the Drama League in some area that they would like to become involved. And we will start training them if they are interested in being trained. I mean, if they have the time.
You don't have to have a vast body of knowledge in an area that you're interested in. If you think you have an affinity for it, we will train you. And we have people shadowing all sorts of different areas. And then they then become our standbys for actually making that happen going forward.
There's a lot of technical people that are young people that started learning lights and learning sound and are now like Ryan Stofa is, you know, on tour with Broadway shows and is flown out to like Colorado and, you know, worked with the lighting designer of Hamilton and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, and he often says, Kathy, you remember me as an 8-year-old? And I was like, yes, I do, Ryan. And he'd be like, let me go up the ladder. I'm like, okay, not ready. So that's a very, very important thing. We don't put people in a position that to fail.
Right.
And we would put them slowly into a training and never, if they didn't feel comfortable in taking the reins of something, then we'll wait.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as a kind of a comparison too, you know, if you're not feeling like that, you know, I'm not interested in, you know, running lights or sound, that just sounds like too much. Well, you know, we just put on Aida, which was as costume heavy as it ever gets. Mm-hmm. And we had, what was it, 8 different costumers constantly sewing and repairing for an entire week or more leading up to the production. And it became a real kind of gathering for folks that just...
Yeah, we're like, all going out for a drink on Friday.
Yeah.
Hey, I wasn't told. Maybe it's because I can't sell.
Okay. Yeah, so there's, you know, there are all those different backstage opportunities. Costuming, you build your own sets, I believe. Correct? So there's...
That's right.
There's that, you know, those skills that are always needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, everything. If you have ever repaired something in your house, there's something to do with the drama. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, if you're a plumber... Mm-hmm. I'm serious. No, I'm just kidding. But there are the building, just mm-hmm. the sheer building maintenance right. yeah. of you know, how old? 75. We've had 85 seasons, and I can't do the math from 1939 when mm-hmm. the building was built.
Mm-hmm. You remember that year, right?
We'll save that till we're done.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, it's every skill possible. Mm-hmm. You can be a part of it, or just as an audience member.
And I know there's a way to sign up to be a volunteer on your website, because I was mm-hmm. there earlier today. And your website is
WilmingtonDramaLeague.org.
So you can go there, find out how to be a volunteer, but also find out about what kinds of activities and offerings there are. Now, the summer's coming up. Summer camps?
Summer camp. We have what's called Summer Stock, and it's a musical theater camp. You don't have to be, in my camp, you don't have to be really, really proficient at singing. You can go along with the group. Honestly, I have also let people lip sync or whatever if they're not comfortable. Mm-hmm. Again, so
just to build stage presence.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a version of the Wizard of Oz, but it's not the true full Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. And it is it's afternoons 12:30 to 5:30 from June 24th till July 19th, and then we have two performances of the show. But it's not just like a pay to play. We have a lot of exercises. We build mm-hmm. A lot of different skills along the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it highlights we have a number of things for youth that provides them, as you were talking about earlier, kind of training, you know, the next group of performers that mm-hmm. you know that we're going to need. And the summer camp is one way. The Youth 1X, which we were talking about, is another. And we're by the time this airs, we will have had auditions for those 1X and mm-hmm. Be in rehearsals. And this year it's looking like, 13 1X?
13 1X with 95 participants.
Wow. And
all of the directors, almost all the directors are young people under 18 mm. and then some are original plays, and then
people have written.
Yes. Yeah. And there'll be young people in the booth, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. But we also are doing, by the time this airs, you'll be hoping to go to see Stuart Little.
Stuart Little right, is right. the last show of our season, mm-hmm. which is a musical based on that wonderful mouse story. Mm-hmm. And that is June 7th. So opens?
Yes, till the 16th.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On the 15th, dates. We're having a special relaxed performance. And this is the first time we're trying it, and hopefully the first of many. And so there's a relaxed performance on Saturday the 15th at 2 p.m. And just quieter, mm-hmm. more relaxed. And
more accessible.
More accessible.
For folks, especially folks that may have certain... characteristics that they don't do well with noise,
right.
or they need to take a break in the middle and need to go out. It's something that's completely acceptable and mm-hmm. gives folks that might not always get to go to theater a chance to come and see mm-hmm. Stuart Little. So we would definitely be open to that.
Yeah, so a relaxed performance, sometimes it's referred to as a sensory friendly.
Yes, yes. Sensory friendly.
Where, mm-hmm. where children who might react negatively to, you know, right. sudden loud mm-hmm. sounds, that sort of thing, it sort of tempers it for
yes.
those audiences.
We've gotten right. the advice of, you know, people that work with autistic children mm-hmm. and Candlelight did a relaxed performance mm-hmm. and Delaware Theater Company. So we've, right. you know, gathered a lot of information from people who have done yeah. it.
It's really a great way to make theater accessible to a broader range of audience members. Mm-hmm. Now, we've only got a couple minutes left. So let's take a look at your upcoming season. I mean, you're ending this season with Stuart Little.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're starting next season with Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, that's from one extreme to the other. So, which speaks to the range of programming that the Wilmington Drama League presents. Let's look at this, what's coming up in this season.
Okay. Well, what's coming up is Jekyll and Hyde in September, and everybody knows that one. It's going to be, you know, a very dark and very fabulous musical. And then Spring Awakening, which, you know, John Gallagher Jr. won the Tony for.
Right.
And that director is new. Both of those directors have never directed at the Drama League. Oh, and then now there's a third one, The Wolves. It was a workshop at Vassar College, and it's a very interesting piece where nine girls on a soccer team, just their progress throughout a season. Then Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I think before you move on from Wolves, you should also mention that The Wolves will be directed by
Lizzie Furman, who is 17.
Okay.
And has shown herself to be a very, very proficient director.
That's great.
So with me as a mentor, I mean, we don't just let them out there.
Right. she's also president of our the youth committee of our board.
Oh, great. Great.
Mm-hmm. Then we do Beauty and the Beast, which is our pageant at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Same time next year, a classic.
Sure.
And a nice small comedy. And then Mr. Burns, a post-electric play. So that's also a new director. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
And following that, we have the slapstick classic Noises Off.
Which is an absolutely hysterical farce.
One of the absolute best. I cannot wait.
We're looking forward to it. And the final show of the season we cannot yet announce, because if we did so, it would be naughty. So, okay. But it's a family centered musical, we'll say. Okay.
But you'll find out on November 1st, because that's when we can.
Okay, great. Well, we're just about running out of time here. So I just want to thank both of you, Eric Molino and Kathy Budabaugh, for coming in today to talk about the Wilmington Drama League. Invite our listeners to check out WilmingtonDramaLeague.org. And we've got about 20 seconds left. So a final comment from either one of you.
I want to thank Paul Wegraff and the Delaware Division of the Arts, because we need support for the arts in Wilmington. But you go with Wilmington. I'm Drama League plug. Go.
And I'll just say, come play with us.
Yes.
Well, thanks again for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you here.
WilmingtonDramaLeague.org.